In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Thursday, July 15th, 2010, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll talk about hour number one in a moment. Want to let you know that hour number two of the program, starting about an hour from now, includes a conversation with Larry Clinton. He is the head of ISA, and he was at the White House's cybersecurity event hosted by Howard Schmidt yesterday. He's our fly on the wall, and he'll tell us what went on at that meeting yesterday, anything that came out of it, and just what it's like to be at a rather exclusive meeting like that. Talk to Larry about an hour from now on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Steve Kempf is the new head of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. Our Chris Dorabek talked to him yesterday. You heard part of the conversation on the Dorabek Insider yesterday, but we'll have it for you from beginning to end later on in hour number two of In Depth today. Hour number one on Thursday is always our industry chatter segment, and this week I'm happy to welcome Nick Schacht. He's president and chief executive officer of Learning Tree International, and welcome to the program, Nick. Nice to have you in studio with me today.
Thanks, Francis. Thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. Give me the kind of the elevator speech about Learning Tree and what it is that you do.
At Learning Tree International, what we do is we help employees of companies, government organizations, nonprofits improve their skills, improve their knowledge so that they can be more effective on the job and the performance of their employers ultimately improves. We train individuals in classrooms hands-on. We've been, we were founded in 1974, so we've been doing this for 36 years now. Got offices in the United States, in England, France, Sweden, Canada, and Japan. We train about 100,000 people a year, and we've trained more than 2 million people since we've been around.
Let's take the time frame over the last 5 years and,
sure.
and talk about how technology has changed the way that you deliver solutions to your customers.
Well, that's a really good question, because over the last 5 years, we've seen some real gains in the way that bandwidth has become available and been made available inside organizations. So it's much more reliable now. What we are doing is we're still focused on instructor-led classroom training, but we now have an approach where you could be sitting right here in the studio with your computer in front of you. Mm-hmm. You could be attending one of our instructor-led classes in Reston or New York or even London, mm-hmm. participating exactly the same way as the people who are sitting there in that classroom. Hearing everything, participating in discussions, doing everything they do, including all the hands-on exercises. So you would get the same result mm-hmm. without having to leave here and go somewhere else for
yeah.
training. We do that by combining commercially available software and then taking that and customizing it and building some modules that help replicate our classroom environment. But with that, you know, with where we were 5 years ago from a technology perspective, we could not be offering this approach to learning.
Yeah. The old model, as I recall, was either you packed up 30 people and sent them to where your instructor was, or you packed up your instructor and a couple of cartons of materials mm-hmm. and sent them to where the 30 people were, and it was a tremendously expensive deal either way, but that's the option that you had. Mm-hmm. Those were the two choices. And I hear constantly, and I think everybody does, about learning online and so forth. And so I imagine that's a much more appealing option for your federal customers, given the budget climate that we're in.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's when you think about the budget climate today, not just for the federal customers, but for the the economy overall.
Mm-hmm.
Training is pretty much the second thing that gets cut
mm-hmm.
from budgets. The first thing that gets cut is travel. So what we've done with this product, which we call Anywhere, is we've at least addressed that first hurdle. So that people who need training can get it without having to incur both the expense and the time associated with travel. This also gives a tremendous amount of flexibility to our customer organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take a client like many of our Department of Defense clients, for example, who have people all over the place. We can put an instructor in one location with a small number of their people and host the class there, but then have other attendees from all over a country or a time zone or the world attending the course.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that, because I think maybe a lot of people wouldn't figure that security might be an issue for a training company, because why would you care whether somebody found out what you were training about? But some of the things that I imagine you train on can be tremendously sensitive.
They can be sensitive, and certainly when we're working with things that are sensitive for a client, that are proprietary to a client, we take that security requirement very clearly into consideration when we design the structure of a training program,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that we're not compromising their security in any way and that we meet their needs in that regard. At the same time, obviously, there are commercial security protocols that go into the online products so that you have some levels of protection on a minimal level. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the government customers that you work with. You mentioned DOD. I know you were working at VA, and there's one a program there I want to talk to you about in a little bit. Talk about some of the other customers that you work with now or have in the past.
We work with pretty much every agency in the federal government. I mean, last year, just to give you a broad brush example, in our fiscal year 2009, we trained people from over 9,500 organizations around the world. So not just the U.S. government, but every government in the countries in which we operate is a significant customer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got folks from National Institutes of Health. We've got folks from every branch of service in the Department of Defense. In fact, our single largest customer worldwide is the U.S. Army.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ordering from lots of different offices, stations,
yeah.
posts, and so on. And we deliver them a combination of courses that are right out of our catalog, where maybe they're implementing a SQL Server database project or something like that, to security training and cybersecurity training, to programs that are tailored and customized just for them, which is more along the lines of the VA program that you'd like to get into at a point.
A little curveball that we didn't talk about before we went on the air, so I hope I'm not catching you off guard. What's a training program that you've done for a federal government customer that's kind of offbeat that somebody would say, oh, that's pretty weird?
Training program that we've done for a federal government customer that's weird.
Or just something that would sound kind of unusual or different. I mean, when I think of training programs, I think of pretty standard run-of-the-mill stuff, important information, but as you said at the beginning, mm-hmm. you're helping somebody move up another level in their job, become more valuable to yeah. the organization they belong to. I'm wondering if there's something that you've done training for that might not fit that mold necessarily.
It goes all over the place. Sometimes it supports organizational initiatives. So maybe the notion of doing customer service training for the IRS,
uh-huh.
for example, is a little bit different. That's not people moving up in the organization, but
right.
it's helping the IRS achieve a mission that it has to improve its service to the people of the United States.
I mean,
you know, we've done programs for General Motors where we've done training in all their dealerships,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our past history, helping the dealers roll out new sales programs for their sales associates. We've worked with a major wireless customer to help them train their in-store sales staff on use of handheld phones.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's product training, initiative training, personal skills training, and so on.
You mentioned that travel is what gets cut in budgets that training is what gets cut in budgets second behind travel.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to expand on that when we come back, and because I'm hearing the same thing from the people that I deal with in government. They're saying we have all these performance initiatives that we're trying to comply with. There have been 50,000 OMB memos on performance in the last 10 minutes, and yet I'm not confident necessarily that my people know what they need to know to be able to meet all of these guidelines, and also I'm not confident that I'm going to have the money to teach them how to do it. So I'd like to talk about that and how maybe a federal manager can demonstrate ROI on training when we come back from the break. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose today on Federal News Radio 1500 AM is Nick Schock, President and CEO of Learning Tree International. We'll continue our conversation in a moment.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
A federal outreach to the private sector can help unify the government. Here's Ernest McDuffie, leader of the National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education.
Every federal agency has its own culture, its own way of doing things. And in some instances, we're reinventing the wheel where it's not really necessary. And so there's a certain degree of resources that get wasted because of that. What we're trying to do is to unify the effort across federal government.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
Is Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak in good health? That question is being asked again as he's reportedly canceled a meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. They postponed their meeting several times. Israeli media reported last week Mubarak has cancer. He reportedly went to Germany in the spring for what some describe as urgent treatment. Some sources say the postponement may be due to political concerns. I'm J.J. Green.
Have you ever wondered about the logistics required to travel by air from one location to another? Last year in the U.S. alone, more than 821 billion passenger miles were flown in and out of 20,000 airports. Behind the scenes, this requires 15,000 air traffic controllers to support 590,000 pilots with air-to-ground communications. ERINC understands this better than anyone. For nearly eight decades, ERINC has worked to develop and advance aviation communications around the world, resulting in reduced congestion. Log on to ARINC. To learn more.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind. But are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in home monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems and pay just $18.95 a month, and there's no cost to switch. Why Ackerman? Ackerman has over 40 years of industry-leading experience. Ackerman monitors your home from its UL and CSAA 5 Diamond Certified Monitoring Center. Ackerman was recently recognized as the National Dealer of the Year from over 30,000 companies. Get the most qualified professionals monitoring your home for just $18.95 per month. And Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Over 180,000 people enjoy peace of mind with Ackerman. Federal employees call today and get 4 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service. Call 888-999-1070, 888-999-1070, or visit AckermanSecurity.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Thursday edition of the Dorabeck Insider. 1 year since Jeffrey Zients was confirmed as the Obama administration's chief performance officer. How are things going so far? He'll join us for a status report. And we'll continue our series, Cool Jobs in Government. Today, all the art and murals that you see in government buildings. We're going to talk to GSA's fine arts specialist. All that and more this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest for Industry Chatter today is Nick Schock. He's President and Chief Executive Officer of Learning Tree International. And we talked about the fact that training is one of the first things to get lopped off when times are tight budget-wise. Is that true in the private sector too, by the way?
Absolutely.
It's not unique to federal government?
No, it's not. It's not unique anywhere. I mean, the thing about training, unfortunately, is because it's so intangible and it doesn't directly, in most cases, yield results, it's very hard to justify as a budget line item. I mean, there's a whole school of thought about how you measure training and show that training produces a return on investment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that's done sporadically in organizations. It's mm-hmm. not done consistently and well. And as a result, people look at training and say, okay, we can cut that because we're not cutting a mission-critical program
right.
somewhere.
How does that work? How does the ROI demonstration work? I mean, you must have some kind of metric that you're able to take to your customers to say, this is how you explain it to the boss.
Well, a bit on that because this is kind of interesting. There's a four-level model called the Kirkpatrick model, which is how you evaluate training programs. Level one is what we call the smile sheet, mm-hmm. which is the evaluation that the students fill out after class. Did they like it? Level two answers the question, did they learn anything? So mm-hmm. that's a test. Maybe you do a pretest and a post-test or just a post-test. How much do they know? Those are easily done inside the classroom. Those are things we can do at the point of training intervention. What gets harder is level 3 and level 4. Level 3 says, okay, given that they learned something, have they put that to work back on the job? And that requires you to observe a person's behavior to see if their behavior changed after they came back from training, and are they doing something different?
Mm-hmm.
Level 4 then is, okay, given that they learned something, they're putting it to work, is it making a difference to the business of our organization? So are we making more revenue? Are we getting our projects or products done faster? So, you know, time to market in the commercial environment, time to deployment in the government environment. Have we reduced costs, mm-hmm. and so on? There are all these different factors then, and the problem with levels 3 and 4 is they depend upon the organization, not the training provider, but the organization itself to set up the measurement plan, structure the measurement plan, and make that all work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a discipline that's not very commonly understood in organizations, and it requires time and energy mm-hmm. on the part of people who already don't have enough time.
Right. Kind of the whole point of the training exercise in the first place is to help people understand how to get their jobs done in a more efficient way, I imagine.
Yes.
As you see the budget, I mean, everybody, it's pretty obvious, understands the budgets are going to be constricted over the next mm-hmm. couple of years. Travel goes first, as you said. Training goes next. And yet, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that's juxtaposed against the administration's demand. Mm-hmm. It's beyond the request point for a better equipped workforce. And one of the most important pieces of equipment that people have is between their ears, and that's the business you're mm-hmm. in. How do you expect to walk that line between agencies saying, I don't have the money, and yet having to meet these guidelines and demands?
Well, the good news is that at least in certain areas, there are some studies that have shown that by the application, by increased application of certain skill sets, you get a specific payback. And I'll give you an example, IT projects. I mean, IT projects are notorious for being over budget, over schedule, in some cases never getting done.
Mm-hmm.
So you can very quickly make an economic argument that if this project on average was going to overrun by, you know, 50%, which is a modest amount for many IT projects,
uh-huh.
if we can apply a certain amount of training and reduce the overrun so that it's 0% or even 10%, then obviously we've saved that amount of money that we haven't wasted. How much did the training cost? Typically far less than the amount of money that we're going to save. And there have been studies done on, for example, IT projects where appropriate project management skills have been applied or haven't been applied. The ones where they haven't been applied perform far worse compared to the ones where they have been applied.
Mm-hmm.
As an example of this, the Office of Federal Procurement Policy established this whole program, Federal Acquisition Contracting, Federal Acquisition Compliance for program and project managers, which is designed to establish a set of project management skills, a core set of competencies across the acquisition workforce for the federal government,
mm-hmm.
with the belief that with those improved skills, projects will come in closer to budget, closer to schedule, and will start meeting the needs of the agencies faster.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a project at the Department of Veterans Affairs that sounds similar to what you're describing there at OFPP. The blurb that I have on it says that you're training program managers there and then able to assess the impact of the training on the program performance. We're going to take a break here in a little bit, and I'd like to hear more about how that works and especially what you're doing to measure the performance of the trained people afterwards, because I think that really gets mm-hmm. to the crux of what this is all about. My guest for the hour is Nick Schacht of Learning Tree International, the president and CEO there, on Industry Chatter on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Want to remind you about 40 minutes from now at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Larry Clinton, who is president of ISA. ISA, of course, has a big stake in cybersecurity, and Larry was at the White House yesterday for Howard Schmidt's big cybersecurity meeting. He'll talk about what went on there and where we may be headed in cybersecurity. That's at the beginning of the second hour of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And then Steve Kempf with Federal News Radio's Chris Dorabeck. Steve is the new head of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. The entire conversation, stuff you didn't hear on the Dorabeck Insider yesterday, you'll hear it in the second part of hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower following reports of a slowdown in the factory sector. The Philadelphia Fed reporting growth activity in the Mid-Atlantic region fell. Meantime, the New York Fed says manufacturing in New York State hit the lowest level since December of 2009. The Dow's down 63 points, the Nasdaq lower by 12. A decline in U.S. producer prices is appearing to raise the prospect of a deflationary spiral of lower prices, wages, and business activity. Jobless claims fell last week to the lowest level since August of 2008. They dropped 29,000 to 429,000, but a Labor Department official says the decline in claims could have been exaggerated by the fact that General Motors is limiting its annual summer plant shutdown. Yet another delay for Boeing's 787 Dreamliner. The company says issues encountered during flight tests could push first deliveries into the first part of next year from the fourth quarter. Chris Maurer, CNBC.
Ford and Lincoln Mercury Service presents Mike Rowe with some important information about the big tire sale.
Well, that about sums it up, really. It's a tire sale. And it's big.
I'll say, when you buy four Goodyear, Continental, Hankook, Yokohama, or Pirelli tires, you get a $100 cash rebate. $100! You forgot to mention that, Mike.
Well, that's why you're here.
Thank you.
It's the big tire sale at your Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers.
See participating dealership or visit genuineservice.com for mail-in rebate and details through 83110.
Get a rate that's among the most competitive in the country with the online savings account from Ally Bank. Your money will work harder, and with no minimum balances and no monthly fees to eat away at your earnings. It's no surprise Kiplinger's Personal Finance voted it best savings account of 2009. Give us a try and let us show you how banking should be. Call us at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward.
It's Bethesda Week at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to Bethesda's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more.
This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to 23-year seafood veteran Chef Tony's. Quality seafood, creative preparations, affordable prices.
Tommy Joe's Restaurant in beautiful downtown Bethesda. All you got to remember is everybody goes to Tommy Joe's. And Gaffney's Restaurant, Bethesda's best-kept secret.
See all the offers at halfpricedc.com.
Here's Dr. Stephen Andra, Senior Health Advisor to the Secretary, VA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Health IT, sponsored by McAfee.
I think that as health IT helps transform healthcare in this country, health IT itself will also be transformed. I don't believe that the way we're looking at health IT today is going to be the way that we use it and tools that we have tomorrow.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Federal IT organizations and prime contractors are experiencing a rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements. McAfee is the standard throughout federal, military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to keeping federal agencies ahead of the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, please call 1-888-VIRUS-NO or go to McAfee.com/government.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
I'm here for the matchmaking service.
But you're a sandwich.
See, how can I fall in love when people think I'm something I'm not?
So you're not a chicken sandwich?
No, I'm a new premium chicken tortata from Taco Bell.
Okay, tell me about the real you.
Well, I'm loaded with fire-grilled chicken and bold flavors with no boring bun to get in the way.
Huh, well, with all your delicious ingredients, I think we can find you someone who loves you for what's on the inside.
Hey, let's not forget about what's on the outside.
With no boring bun, the outside is pretty important, too.
Introducing Taco Bell's new premium chicken tortata. Marinated and fire-grilled all-white meat chicken in your choice of two bold flavors, bacon ranch or salsa roja. Think outside the bun. At participating locations for a limited time only.
Put away your late-night hunger with Taco Bell's fourth meal. All the crunchy, spicy, cheesy, and grilled tastes you crave after dark. Only at Taco Bell. Think outside the bun. Taco Bell. Taco Bell is open till 1 a.m. or later. Hours may vary by location.
Deloitte invites you to join Debriefs, a series of 60-minute webcasts focused on topics of interest to federal and state government executives. Debriefs webcasts feature their professionals discussing critical issues that affect your organization. For more information and to register, visit Deloitte.com/US/debriefs. That's visit Deloitte.com/US/debriefs.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's Industry Chatter on In Depth with Francis Rose. My guest today is Nick Schock, President and CEO of Learning Tree International. And we've been talking about demonstrating the value of training for managers who want some training or want to keep the training budgets that they have for the employees that they have and the projects they're working on. And it's always a tempting place to cut, as we've talked about a number of times. Let's talk about what you're doing at the Department of Veterans Affairs. You're training program managers there. Talk about the training that you're doing for the managers, and then we'll talk about the back end of it.
Sure. We mentioned in the last segment the FAC PPM program that was put in place by the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. Federal Acquisition Institute developed a set of standards for FAC PPM. You've got entry level, journeymen, and senior managers. So you've got three levels of individuals in the acquisition workforce who are trained in a variety of competencies, improving their project management and program management skills, improving their contract management skills, improving their leadership skills, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very well-defined structure. Well, the VA, as you know, had come under criticism for the management of a number of its projects, especially IT projects, in prior years. And the VA took that very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Among other things, they established the VA Acquisition Academy, which is focused on improving the skills of the acquisition workforce in the VA, which, I mean, we're talking about we're talking about more than 10,000 people in VA alone, but not just in VA. The VAAA wants to extend this throughout the federal government and so make what it's doing available to address these performance improvement initiatives throughout the federal government. We're starting in the VA with the FAC PPM training that we are doing for the VA's own acquisition workforce. They've identified and split their workforce into those three levels, entry-level, journeymen, and senior-level managers. For each of those levels, we have a curriculum that we designed and built that is built right around the FAI standards for each of those levels. And so what we're doing this year, which is the first year of training, is we're putting the workforce through a series of boot camps. Each individual goes through 3 weeks of training during which we cover all of the competencies. Now, as you pointed out, they're going to a class, they're rating us on how well they like the class, and they're taking a test at the end of the class.
Mm-hmm.
But the real key is, do they apply what they're learning when they get back to the job? And that's where we've built in and integrated another part to this program where we've partnered with Grant Thornton. And together we've designed and implemented a program where during the class, each individual writes up an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to do to apply what I'm learning in this boot camp to my projects and programs. Then they go back and they have to implement that action plan with their manager. Grant Thornton then follows up with the individuals and their managers to assess the degree to which the action plan is being followed and completed over a performance period of time. I mean, this isn't something that happens in 2 weeks.
Right.
We're talking about application over months with different check-in points along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're getting at, and we talked about that four-level model of training evaluation, we're on level three now.
Yes.
Are they applying what they learned? Level four comes at the end of the project. Did the project get completed better on schedule than had been the case historically, or closer to budget? And so that's what we're doing with the VA. It's really a performance improvement program as opposed to a training program.
Yeah. You're going to have then quantifiable data that demonstrates what the value of the training was.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you'll be able to then attribute a dollar value to that as well.
Yes.
We spent this much, but we saved this much or achieved this much better than we would have otherwise.
Exactly.
What kind of people, can you tell me about the people who are coming into this training? What kind of backgrounds they have or anything like that?
The people who are coming into this training are people who are in the acquisition career path. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, 1102s and the like. But you've also got people who are project managers and program managers. Some of them are information systems personnel who are managing IT projects. I mean, there's a broad range. You may remember, I mean, this goes back 25 years, but when Bob Costello first took over the job of Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, he estimated that within the Department of Defense, the acquisition workforce of civilian employees was like 700,000 or 800,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was huge.
Yeah.
You know, he was taking almost half the workforce. And when you think about the number of individuals that touch a project or a contract or a program, you can understand why that definition is so broad. So
yeah.
We've really got people from all over
mm-hmm.
the government, all over the VA, who are coming into this program. In total, they've targeted between 10,000 and 15,000 people to go through this training program.
The concept of making this of training available to people at all agencies, I think, is fascinating too, because it seems to be putting an end to the idea of we're VA and we're going to establish our acquisition training, and then the Department of whatever sits mm-hmm. over here in their building and says, you know, we should develop a training program for our acquisition people. Let's start completely from scratch. You're laughing because you've heard this many times before, I guess.
Yes.
Let's start completely from scratch. I wonder who does training. And it just seems to be that same old thing that we hear over and over again. This sounds like it's kind of breaking that.
Well, and I think that there's some very progressive thinking at the top of the VA Acquisition Academy, where they aren't thinking in terms of just their own Rice Bowl. They're thinking about this performance improvement mandate for the entire federal government, because all agencies are wrestling with this.
Mm-hmm.
All agencies have similar issues depending upon the nature of their work. And so if the federal government can actually take a step back and say, how do we approach this on a broader perspective across all agencies, using the standards established by the FAI to set the groundwork for what we do? But then if we get a program that's developed by the VA and that serves the needs of other agencies, mm-hmm. wonderful.
Well, and it kind of fits with what people would like to see, especially in DOD, as far as certification of the stuff that people are procuring.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing could apply, I guess, to the people doing the procuring.
Well, in fact, there's a separate program that's coming underway now. We've been talking about FAC PPM, which is Project and Program Management.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a FAC COTAR program that's coming into existence. So, again, a federal acquisition certification program for the contracting officer's technical representatives, the people that have to administer the contracts and manage the contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Ensure that they achieve a certification, which is a basic knowledge and skill level, and then that they're applying those skills on the job.
Yeah. You've got quite a task ahead of you, and we haven't even talked about cybersecurity training, which we will get into in a little bit. Nick Schacht, is President and Chief Executive Officer of Learning Tree International, my guest on Industry Chatter, on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back in a moment.
It was such a surreal experience to be getting ready for class and then a few hours later being diagnosed with cancer. It's just unbelievable. I was told I had 2.5 years to live.
When John Ivey was diagnosed with cancer, he couldn't afford the medicine he needed.
When it came down to money, it's very devastating. And here's a new drug that's potentially life-saving. And then all of a sudden to be told you can't afford it, you can't have it, I was dying, and I wanted to live.
John contacted Novartis about the medicine he needed.
They told us to just forget about the money portion of it. They basically eliminated that part of the equation and said, let's just get you well. If it wasn't for people like that, people like me wouldn't be here.
Developing new medicines, getting them to the patients who need them. Novartis. Think what's possible.
A gold glove, a silver slugger, a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and the number one pick. Don't miss out on history, Natstown. Witness this memorable summer at Nationals Park. For a limited time, pick any three games and get a fourth game free. Check out the new Nats Youth Movement with Ryan Zimmerman, Steven Strasburg, and Drew Storen. Spend less, get more, go Nats. Visit nationals.com/2010. That's nationals.com/2010. Or call 202-675-NATS.
Movie producers, dolphin trainers, intelligence agents on bicycles. Believe it or not, these are all federal jobs. All this week in our special week-long series, Cool Jobs in Government, Federal News Radio uncovers some of the most interesting ways feds spend their days. You'll hear about a Postal Service employee who spends her days in a cave, a meteorologist who forecasts space weather, and what it takes to drill a hole in the deepest part of the ocean. Cool Jobs in Government, all this week at 8 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Nick Schacht of Learning Tree International, my guest for the hour on Industry Chatter. And one area of training that Learning Tree International conducts, Nick, of course, is cybersecurity training. And I'll tell you on the air what I told you off the air. I've had conversations with any number of people in industry and in government and so on, and I always ask the same question when it comes to the cybersecurity workforce. And that is, what's on somebody's resume that makes you look at it and say, I want to interview this person because they have what it takes to be a good cybersecurity professional? And if I've asked 50 different people, I've gotten 100 different answers. And none of them, it's just so difficult to quantify, as you and I were talking about off the air. There are certifications, yes. There are standards, yes. But that doesn't necessarily mean that when somebody sits in the seat, they can do the job. Do you think that, and this might be a loaded question considering you work for a training contractor, is it possible that we'll see a model where there is ongoing, and by ongoing, I don't just mean every 6 months, maybe continuous training and updating of skills for people in the cyber field just because the challenges and the threats change so rapidly?
I think there will have to be. I mean, you put your finger on the reason there. The technology and the threats and the challenges are constantly changing. So if you hire somebody even a year ago or 2 years ago, unless they've continued refreshing their skills, pretty soon they're going to be out of date and they're not going to be up to meeting the current challenges. Now, the good news is that many of the professionals who work in these areas take this very seriously. And even if their organization doesn't have its own a training initiative, they're out there, you know, researching, looking things up, figuring stuff out. At the same time, I mean, what you're hearing from the folks who are doing the hiring is the same thing that I hear. I mean, I can say, okay, we're under a DOD 8570 mandate, and we've got to have people who are 8570 certified, which means they might have a Security Plus or an A Plus or CISSP certification. But I can see that on the paper, but how do I know they can do the job?
Yeah.
And in the unfortunately brief time that we have when we're looking for somebody to fill a position and trying to hire an interview and so on, we're spending a few hours with somebody and really trying to get a sense of what this person's capability is very hit or miss. And there's a lot of gut level decision making that goes on there.
Is there anything that a manager can do to kind of, I guess, juice the game a little bit? Any clues that a manager can take when he's dealing with somebody or she's interviewing somebody or whatever to try to get a sense of what their level of training is, maybe above and beyond what's on the paper or how well it's sunk in or anything like that?
Well, there are a bunch of different techniques that you can use, and I'll just give you a couple because, I mean, there, you know, we could go for hours
on
the subject.
Sure.
But a couple are, first of all, when you're actually in the interview, ask people to describe what they did in a specific situation. In other words, you say you can do this. Give me an example of a situation in which you applied this skill.
Yeah.
And let them talk about history as opposed to asking the question, what would you do if?
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody can make up the answer to that one.
Yeah.
The other thing that's useful that we actually do when we interview people, especially for more senior, more complex jobs, is we will have constructed a bit of a test or a little simulation, something drawn right out of the workplace that might be a 2 or 3 hour assignment, and we'll either have them in the office working on that or we'll send them home with it and ask them to complete it and send it back so we can get an exam, we can get a feel for how they work through something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, depending upon hiring requirements, hiring processes, either in companies or the OPM requirements, you may or may not have latitude to do that, but that's something that we found very, very effective.
You brought along a copy of the OPM, the new OPM Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, and there are some elements in there about training that I want to dig into in a little bit. My guest is Nick Schacht. He's president and, excuse me, Schacht. I've done that a couple of times and I apologize. Nick Schacht is president and chief executive officer of Learning Tree International. And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Listen next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Hear from FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate, Federal Environment Executive Michelle Moore, Dr. David Blumenthal on Health IT, Rich Haley on Managing Financial Resources at the FBI, Professor Tom Davenport on Analytics and Making Better Decisions, and Alec Ross on Using Social Media to Advance U.S. Diplomatic Goals. All of this and more next week on the Business of Government magazine with host Michael Keegan.
In this unpredictable economy, how much money have you lost? Join me, Carl Balestrieri, each week as we tackle the tough situations you've encountered and offer solutions for protecting your money and weathering this storm. In some of my future shows, we will be exploring the truth about investing, some of the things that your broker and financial planners may not be telling you. Join me, Carl Balestrieri, on Federal News Radio, Saturday morning at 10:30 for Right on the Money.
The Human Capital Solutions Report provided by Aon Consulting.
Managing long-term absences is a challenge for employers. Not only does the work need to be done while the employee is away, but that person needs to be compensated appropriately, given company policy and state and federal mandates. Aon Consulting offers a total absence management program designed to cut absence costs by as much as 30% while improving employee productivity and morale. Aon Consulting's program saved a local healthcare system hundreds of thousands of dollars in the first year alone.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
As government and commercial companies continue to improve their business processes, they're finding that IT requirement analysis, market reviews, product selection, and ongoing operations are taxing the resource base of their employees. TMR is here to help. TMR provides enterprise architecture, governance, and IT operational support to ensure our customers' IT investments are aligned with specific business goals, objectives, and capital investment strategies. For more details, visit TMR at tmrhq.com or call 703-323-1700.
If you're a federal manager, this year you're being asked to open up government by increasing transparency, enhancing collaboration, and improving citizen engagement. Don't take on this challenge alone. Join hundreds of your colleagues at Excellence in Government on July 19th and learn about the latest best practices and new technologies that are required to make open government a reality. Visit excelgov.com today to reserve your place at Excellence in Government, the premier best practices conference for federal managers.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Nick Schacht is President and Chief Executive Officer of Learning Tree International, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And, Nick, we've talked a lot on this station over the last, week or so that this has been out.
Yeah.
The 2010 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey from the Office of Personnel Management. And training, there were a bunch of questions about training asked in this. What are your thoughts about what you took away from this when it comes to training?
I think I'd say that survey is an incredibly useful document for sort of understanding the state of mind of the federal workforce, not only with regard to training, but pretty much everything. I mean, the survey was sent to more than 500,000 people, and they got well more than a 50% response rate from that, which is a tremendously high rate. So that's a good picture. So you get a picture of a workforce that overall is very satisfied with what it does, very, very much believes in the mission of what it does, and yet is pointing at opportunities and areas for improvement. So when I look at training, for example, you know, just there were more than more than 75% of the employees who responded to that survey were satisfied or very satisfied with their jobs and with the government overall, which is a tremendous number. That's huge.
Yeah.
When you look at that in terms of do you have adequate training to do your job, the number goes down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at are you satisfied with the training you're getting to do your job, the number was about 55-56%. Now, that's still pretty good. I mean, organizations that I've seen in the past where that number would be a lot lower. But still, when you compare that to their commercial counterparts, because there's an interesting benchmark at the end of the survey that compares the federal government answers with commercial answers on mm-hmm. similar items, 66% of people who were in commercial enterprises believed that they were satisfied or very satisfied with the training that they were receiving. So there's still an opportunity there, I believe, for the government to continue to focus on training and continue to bring that up. At the same time, as we were talking about, you know, in one of the breaks, there are portions of the government, there are agencies in the government that focus very heavily on training. I mean, you know, I was a naval officer a long time ago, and in the military, you train and you train and you train because your lives and the lives of your people depend upon it. So there are cultures of training that are very heavily built into aspects of the federal government. And in many ways, I believe the government can serve as a model for some commercial organizations.
The good news, I think one of the elements of good news that comes out of this survey when it pertains to training is that as I'm looking at the elements that we've circled here, they're trending up.
Yes, they are.
Maybe not huge, but they're all going in the right direction.
That's absolutely right. The survey is conducted every 2 years, and so one of the things that they do is give a comparison in the survey between 2006, 2008, and now 2010. And as you say, the training elements are going up measurably, not significant, not heavily, but still measurably. It's a noticeable increase, as are many of the other trends in that. I mean, overall, when you look at the survey, it gives a pretty positive picture of what's going on in the minds of the federal workforce.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the relationship, get away from the training element of it mm-hmm. and talk about the just strict vendor to government
sure.
relationship. What are you finding as far as ease of doing business with the government? Is it getting easier or harder to do? From a strictly a vendor perspective, mm-hmm. the acquisition workforce, do they have, the training that they need to be able to weigh bids and so forth? Are you finding that the government's in good shape when it comes to those kinds of things?
I think what I'm seeing, based on the interaction that we have at Learning Tree with the government, is that the government improves, but there is still a gap between what the government does and the application of best practices in the commercial mm-hmm. sector. I think that we find that the government has continued to work on streamlining its processes. For example, we've got a contract with a GSA, as you know, thousands of other companies do. And the processes around that contract are very smooth, very streamlined, a lot of automation that supports it. I don't think it's much different now answering an RFP than it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago. There's still a lot of detail. The standards change. The requirements now, for example, for managing data have gotten much more intensive in an atmosphere of privacy and, again, cybersecurity. So there are segments of RFPs which are more complex. At the same time, there are things that that happen in the commercial world. As the commercial world develops, it has always taken the government time to bring those back into the standards and the procedures for government contracting, and I don't think that's any different now. So I'd say things are getting better, but there's still this gap that remains between how we do things purely commercial to commercial and how we do things when we're working with the government. That's not bad. It's just kind of the way it is.
Just the way it is. Any thoughts that you have about how that gap can be shrunk?
I think that to shrink the gap, there would need to be a concerted effort to go out and convene industry forums on what are best practices in commercial-to-commercial transactions. Because there are obviously very complex requirements. I mean, you know, Boeing builds airliners for United Airlines, and there are a lot of similarities there to building planes for the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
What are the best practices that are used in that kind of an environment, and how can more of those be brought in, and maybe even some cross-pollination, like temporary assignment or temporary hiring of contracting professionals outside the government and bringing them in
mm-hmm.
would be another thing to explore. I mean, maybe some of this has been done already.
There have been some efforts in that area, but a lot of times what people will say to me is, we're too busy to be, we can't spare the people that we have to have them go off and learn. It would be great if we had that luxury, but it still is kind of a luxury at this point.
Oh, sure it is. And I think, you know, if it were broken, there would be a lot of emphasis on it. I don't think it's broken. I mean, I think it continues to work. The government continues to procure the goods and services that it needs fairly effectively. I think we were more broken back in the 1970s and 1980s than we are today. So maybe that's a good thing from that perspective.
We've covered a lot of ground, and I have a lot more here that I would like to cover, and we're not going to be able to because we're starting to run out of time. So I would like to have you come back at some point and continue this discussion. If we sat down and had this conversation 2 years from now, say, about where the government was headed, based on what you're seeing now and what we're all looking at budget-wise and so on and so forth, where are you hoping that your company is when we have that conversation 2 years from now?
I'm hoping that we are doing more with FACT, PPM, and like programs with a broad range of agencies, just the same way we're doing them within the VA. I'm hoping that we are more broadly using our Anywhere technology to reach and connect with people who are at vast distances from where we are to where we are physically located. And then that's become routine and expected. And that when you walk into a classroom, you expect to see people sitting in the seat next to you and also connecting through the internet.
Fascinating conversation. Thank you very much for, excuse me for being here today. I didn't know I'd get choked up at the end. I'd be so sad to see you leave. Nick Schacht is President and Chief Executive Officer of Learning Tree International. I appreciate your time today very much.
Thank you very much.
Back for hour number two of In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll talk to Larry Clinton of ISA. He was at the White House yesterday for the big cybersecurity meeting hosted by Howard Schmidt, and we'll find out what went on in that meeting and where Larry thinks we're headed from here cybersecurity-wise in the federal government. We'll also hear from Steve Kempf. He's the new head of the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. He talked to our Chris Dorbeck in his first full day on the job as permanent commissioner of the FAS after being acting since this past April when Jim Williams retired. We'll hear from Steve uncut in hour number two of In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.